All right, so what are some things that make the Trinity unique? Let's get back to that. All right, John.
Even though they're individual people, they're still one God.
Okay, there it's three individual entities or distinct entities, yet one. Isaac?
There's no disagreement. Anytime you see like a pantheon or something, they're like split up by each other. Like, is that besides the fact that they're one God?
Okay. Good. All right, so perfect harmony among them. All righty, good. What else? What else is unique about the Trinity? Yep, Dennis?
They're never alone.
All right, they're never alone. Okay, good. What else?
They talk to each other.
All right, they communicate with each other. Right. Okay.
We also can't understand.
Yeah.
Fully.
Right.
They're above anything that we could ever really, fully, truly understand. And I don't know if we ever will.
They are, yes. Incomprehensible to the human mind. And we don't know what we will know when we get to heaven. Or what our understanding will be. I know I was always taught that we would know everything like Jesus when we got to heaven, but the more I study Scripture, I haven't quite found that yet. So, not sure why preachers used to say that. Other than it says we will, let's see, what does it say?
We will
be like him, but that's a little vague. So, not sure if we will be like him in our of his omniscience or not. All right. What else? What else makes the Trinity so unique? Other thoughts?
Different jobs that they have. Like, you've got the Father, you've got the Son, and then you just have different. One's a mediator, the comforter.
Okay. All right, so different responsibilities within them, different jobs that they perform. Good.
Two are Holy Spirit, one has been incarnate.
Okay, good. So it's unique that two are more spirit beings of sorts, but one has taken on flesh. Good. I know, I'm making you think this morning, aren't I?
I think one thing that stands out to me is the Trinity, they all work together for our salvation, and it's the only example of that.
Okay. So all three are working for our salvation. Good. And I always like to remember that by saying God planned the Father planned our salvation, the Son provided our salvation, and the Holy Spirit performs or perfects our salvation. So that's an easy way to remember that. But yes, all of them are working for us, towards our salvation. Good.
Well, I think it's kind of unique. You go all the way back to Genesis, that God doesn't need anyone else. The triune God needs no one else, and yet they said, we will make man in our image.
Okay, so yes, they in and of them, they are complete, and yet they chose to create something else. Good. Anything else? Some good thoughts. So you're gonna leave and take Tylenol when you get out. All right, let's see. Let's see if there's anything that we haven't said. Go ahead, John.
I know one thing. The Holy Spirit lives in me. He guides me.
Right.
Jesus is with me. He prays for me.
Okay.
And God, my Father, my Creator.
Right.
So, but really what I'm working and I'm focused on my job, the Holy Spirit is with me. Because I asked Him to help me with my machines all the time.
Right. Yeah. But still, something unique about your relationship with each one of them. Yeah, good. All right, so we said, so these were just things I thought of. They're inseparable one from another. I think you all said that. They have the same nature. I don't, did anybody say that? Kind of, yeah. Maybe a little bit different. They have the same character. They are unique. We did mention that. They have specific identities. Mentioned that. And then they're always present one with another. That was mentioned as well. So good. You got most all of them. So how do we know the Holy Spirit was present at creation? All right. Dick mentioned that. All right. So where else do we see that? Well, just two different places there in Genesis. All right. So Genesis 1:2 says the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And then the verse that Dick mentioned later in the chapter, God said, let us make man in our image. So right off the bat, we see the importance of the Holy Spirit in creation. And we see His involvement in that as He participated, again, with God or as God in that. Because what does John 1 tell us when we went through John 1? Okay. And then it says all things were created by God, by, you know, through the speaking of Christ. He spoke things into existence. So, you know, all of them, again, were unique, but had a part in creation. So what does it mean to be created in the image of God? We're what? Okay, we're the primary symbol of okay, right. So a lot of those things that we just discussed, those unique relationships, we can carry over into our own lives between, you know, husband, spouse, brother, brother, sister, siblings, parents, children, all of that. It's like a great example for us to follow. All right.
We're creators.
Okay, we too are creators, not in the sense that we make things out of nothing. But we take what God has given and can He has given some more than others, the creativity to make things with that. Yes. Yeah. Right. But like, you know, Dick was an engineer, so he has that mindset of being able to take different things and put them together and build and know what will, you know, what will last and what won't. And, you know, it's amazing. You know, we look at all these, you know, house or a building, or the bigger, the taller the building, you know, and realize somebody had to just determine, you know, how much weight this foundation could hold, or how big your foundation needed to be, how deep and wide and all of that, you know, to withstand the winds and the storms and everything else, that if what the weight that you're going to put on that. You know, somebody, God bless someone with the ability to figure all that out and determine how that could happen. You know, that was what one of the big issues, the earthquakes in, was it Indonesia just recently?
Turkey.
In Turkey, you know, and what was one of the things they're investigating now over there? Does anybody? I think I heard this. Anybody else hear it? Right, the construction. They feel like, you know, a lot of the inspectors were getting paid off so that they, you know, people that were building didn't have to follow code like they should have. And that's why there was as much devastation as there was. And that if things had been built to code like it should have been, then they would, you know, there were still going to be devastation, but it wouldn't have been as widespread and there wouldn't have been as many people killed. You know, and what does that come back to? It comes back to, you know, engineers had decided this is how it needs to be done, but people shortcutted that and didn't follow through with the proper planning of what it should have been. And as a result, things fell, you know, and there was devastation. Yes, yes, good point. You know, and it's always amazed me. So many, like our, you know, so many of the EPA laws. You know, why did the EPA have to get started and create so many laws for corporations? All right. Yes, but. To some degree, yes, but what was the impetus for them to even start doing that? Because many corporations did what? They were cutting corners, you know, dumping, you know, soiled water or contaminated water in our drinking water, or in, you know, burying, you know, junk they shouldn't have been in the landfills and whatever, or, you know, not. And I don't know, you know, the smoke, you know, we grew up, the little town that I grew up in used to have a rubber factory in it, and it closed down when I was very, very little. You know, but I know, you know, a lot of the stuff that's burned off, it has to be burned off to such an extent so that the smoke or what's emitted into the air isn't as contaminated any longer. You know, and companies that shortcutted that and didn't do what they should have, you know, it was all about, kind of comes back to what Dick said, making a profit, you know, trying to get the stockholder an extra buck. And so as they tried to shortcut and come up with ways to not do what was right for the greater good, you know, then government had to step in, which was very unfortunate because it does take our tax dollars and, you know, take a lot of extra to make that happen. But because of sin. Yes. Right.
We'd rather have profit and we'd rather eat both ways.
Right.
We don't acknowledge that we have this creation that we've been given. We are supposed to have dominion. Dominion means moving, making roads straight.
Yes.
And removing sin.
Right. Yeah. You know, and we live in a country that's doing the same thing. You know, we're just spending more and more and more money, borrowing more and more money, and we're kicking that can down the road to, you know, our children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, if it makes it that long. And so, you know, the sin. So, you know, yes, we were created in the image of God, and there's so many, as Dick said, so many wonderful, so many things are implied there, and yet sin has corrupted all of that. And we see that in the fall of man. And when we fail to live in the power of the Holy Spirit, then we end up living in the power of Satan. And it can only be one or the other. You know, there's no real middle ground there. All right, let's pray this morning. Would anyone like to close this in prayer? All right, Jeremy. Amen. Thank you all.